Welcome back to the Space Kaycera Show with the space nerds Kavi and Benjamin here on iRock Space Radio. We are having another one of my favorite episodes of Science for Good with a special guest, Mac Mokawi, who is, are you the founder of Blink or are you just a partner in Blink? Or did you start Blink? You started
Blink? Yes, I started Blink. It was an evolution. It was just a philanthropic thing I just wanted to do good while I was traveling overseas. I just saw that there was just lack of science education. I'm the son of immigrants. So when I go back home to the country of Jordan, and I'm a nerd, so I want to nerd out and geek out with the relatives, and especially the young ones, and they don't know what I'm talking about, from a Saturn V to a Falcon 9 and everything. So I said, well, why don't you watch YouTube videos or anything about it? And there is no content on YouTube like that. I said, well, I mean, there's Cosmos and everything. They're like, well, half of them don't speak English. I'm like, but it's translated, isn't it? It's or dubbed or something. And then, you know, once I started hearing, like, come on, how many Korean movies can you watch in a row, even though it's translated? So that two lines of translation, first of all, you're trying to read, so you're missing out on a lot of what's going on. And imagine having to do that over and over and over before you get a headache. And then take it a step further. Imagine the limit of your scientific knowledge is just limited to those two lines of text at the bottom of the screen. I'm like, oh my goodness, how can they not have access to all this content? And for me, I've gotten to a point in my life where I can actually start to empower and inspire people to create their own content, because YouTube's a thing now. The internet's a thing now. So all you need is a phone and an internet connection, and if you're smart enough, you can create your own content. So it was a small and slow evolution of just trying to empower people to love science and space into, oh, there's a sustainable business model behind this. Let me try to do something nonprofit. And then a couple years later saying, no, let me do something for profit and actually make a really good product and sell it.
Yeah.
Never run a nonprofit before. And I've been a businessman for the last 16 years in oil and natural gas. So I know how to make a product. I know how to make a really good product, and I know how to sell it. But now I find myself having to learn something I've never done before. Learning nonprofit, learning how to beg for money. Oh my God. It was terrible. So yeah. I figured, no, I'm just going to make really good content. I'm going to make Cosmos type shows, and I'm going to make the, so I find that there's a billion people in India, 200 million people in Bangladesh, 200 million people in Pakistan, 500 million Arabic speaking people around the world. And the list goes on and on, you know, scalability wise, 300 million people in Indonesia. All those languages don't have the content that we have. So, and Kavi, you're a content creator as well, and you probably run into that as well, having to create all that language and the struggle of having to do it in different languages. Or if you don't speak English, or someone who doesn't speak English is just not going to have access to that. So I reshaped the business to say, oh, there's a market of nerds out there who love science and space, and there's no content for them. So why don't I make the content? And now I'm not going into a crowded market trying to compete with all these creators, you know, and actually just be inspired by them instead. And that way I'm doing good, but at the same way, it's a sustainable way of doing it.
It's so insightful. I have to say that, like, people, especially English speakers, you can kind of think, oh, well, you know, if there are subtitles, they'll be fine. And they don't understand how, as you said, like from two lines of text, you're not really getting any sort of depth, right? And so, like, Mac, you know this, like, I did my undergrad in Hebrew, and, you know, I speak conversational Hebrew, but, like, when you're trying to understand the depths of physics in a language that isn't your own, it's not the same, right? And so I feel like being able to share this content, to do like what you're doing and what people like Diana Al-Sindi are doing, of creating original content in Arabic, it's so liberating. It's giving a whole other dimension to the educational process So, yeah.
Oh, absolutely. And it's not just Arabic. It's Arabic, Hindi, Urdu. I mean, one of my scholarships this past year is the way I like to describe it is you send a kid to space camp, and you've all seen that kid who went to space camp and it changed their life forever. And you guys are nodding. And So I figured if you send one kid to space camp, you change one life forever. But if you make a well-made film or documentary about that kid going to space camp in their own language, like, you just changed hundreds of thousands of lives forever. So that to me is the outreach of how I got inspired. And that's why I started bringing up Cosmos, because I fell in love with science and space through watching documentaries. Mm-hmm. And when documentaries don't exist in those other languages, and they're going to become the scientists in the future, they're going to take us to Mars, they're going to take us back to the moon, then, inspiring that generation, inspiring those cultures is just as important. So, and there's also the sustainability model of it. So that's why I went for the for-profit route, just a matter of sustainability of what I know how to do versus learning a brand new industry in my 40s.
Yeah. So give me, first of all, two thoughts. Well, two things. First of all, this is the second time I've heard sort of this, build up to the story of what you're doing and why you're doing it. And you tell it with the same level of passion that I heard it the first time. And that is just so phenomenal, because you are like clearly in love with what you are doing, because you share it in such a way that I'm listening to it again. And I'm like, yeah, like, this is awesome. But give us some updates. So the last time I really kind of touched base with you, I had sent you a dry suit from my boyfriend's scuba shop that we had just kind of laying around to make a bladder for a space suit for one of your camps. Let me know, like, what's been going on? Like, what's new with your initiative?
Goodness. Yeah, that was just after I left San Francisco. And we had talked the last time I had visited Adam Savage's workshop, where I saw all his
spacesuits. Freaking out right now.
I know, they were fantastic. And I'm looking at the latest suit he did, and he built a number of YouTube videos about it, so he can give a how-to. So a bunch of young ladies who were building a spacesuit as part of our space Martian camp, analog-themed camp experience in Jordan, were going to build not what you see behind me here, which is a costume. No, they're engineers, so they're building a life support system. Nice. So young lady named Salam and Tasbih Lana, Syrian refugee, said, no, we're engineers. We're going to build actual life support systems. I'm talking CO2 scrubbing device, thermal regulation, bladder, pressurized, everything to be an actual spacesuit.
Beautiful.
And to go to Wadi Rum that looks like Mars. And that's where they actually film all the Martian movies. The Martian was filmed there. And Red Planet, oh, all these wonderful movies. Indiana Jones and The Last Crusade, Star Wars, Rise of Skywalker. Skywalker and Mortal Kombat 2. Oh, don't talk about that last one. So when you have a multi-layered suit, a life support system, you have to start with the first layer is what? Just a long john to protect your skin from the suit. The second layer is called a spaghetti suit. It's just a layer of tens of meters of tiny little tubes of silicone with a backpack of ice cubes and water, and really just a fish. They made it with a fish tank, battery operated fish tank pump, and it just circulated all of that. Even with a hoodie hat, it circulated all the ice water through your, and that's the exact same model that's used right now on the MMU suit, the EVA suit of the International Space Station. So that was another layer. The layer on top of that is the bladder, which is your boyfriend's dry suit, which is the what was used to keep the pressure inside. And then there was a thermal layer made of, oh goodness, the lady, the engineers would understand it better. I hope I'm doing it justice. I believe it's a mylar layer for thermal regulation and a simulated outer layer of Kevlar for, because Kevlar is so expensive, that they made a simulated layer for micrometeorite protection for the outside. And it is, I will share it on the Blink social media page. So,
oh, that would be awesome.
I would love to.
You will see it. It looks like a person on Mars. Meanwhile, it's a Syrian refugee engineer just sharing her actual creation that was inspired by Adam Savage just weeks earlier.
It's also super practical for being in, mm-hmm. in Wadi Rum, especially in the summertime. Like, okay, I didn't know about micrometeorites, but like, it gets hot out there.
Yeah, well, that's why you needed the cooling system, actually. So the astronaut in the suit was doing better than the audience who was watching.
That's great.
That is awesome.
And, it goes on and on. The actual science that they made, for example, your the breath management, so the CO2 scrubbing to get rid of the CO2 so you won't kill yourself.
Handy tool.
Fog mitigation. There are two different types of there's a redundant method and a primary method of fog mitigation, so you won't your visor won't fog up. So you have a fan system and you have a thermoelectric generator. What she did is on the leg, the heat generated from the body, difference between heat and the cold from the backpack actually creates a 5-volt charge, which is enough voltage to spin a 5-volt CPU fan that gets rid of the fog. And I'm like,
oh, brilliant.
How do you know this stuff?
So complicated.
That's beautiful.
See, and this is why I said, I know Mac. I know Mac, and he's got lots of stories. We're already creeping up on the end of our second segment right now, and I still don't really know exactly what's new in your world. You have so many amazing stories. And again, the thing that is so marvelous to me, Mac, so marvelous, is your passion and your enthusiasm. You are, I know you said that, like, you know, for-profit world, but when it comes to nonprofit world too, like, put this man on camera and everyone will be like, take my money. Yeah, we need to talk about what has been going on since the last time I talked to you. So we'll definitely do that in the next segment. So I'm going to cut it now and we're going to let you ride it out in the third segment. Let's
Find you out.
You tell us what is going on, and then we need to make sure we remember to take an opportunity for people to know where your social media handles are and mm-hmm. and everything like that, so that they can follow you and support you and encourage the work that you're doing, because it is really genuinely amazing. So that's why I wanted you on here. So we're going to take a quick break again, and when we get back, we will finish our conversation with Mac. And you're listening to the Space Case Sarah Show with the Space Nerds, Kavi and Benjamin, here on iRock Space Radio.